Well, good morning. It still is morning. I can't see the clock from here, but it's good to be here with you and to be able to do the devotion again. Have you ever been unable or unready to speak at any given moment? I mean, I know that's not the case this morning. I'm pretty sure that most of you didn't wake up this morning and say to yourselves, well, what am I going to do today? Let's see. Yeah, I got it. Debate and speech competition. That seems like a good idea. Or perhaps you said, I'm all dressed up this morning. Let's go see what's happening at VCA. And you didn't actually prepare to be here. I'm pretty sure most of you, nodding your heads, right? You probably have prepared to be here. And probably your parents have been getting you prepared to know. Some of you not? Okay. But most of you have been preparing for ages for this particular competition. And very few of you are probably going to try to wing it this morning. And if you are, the Lord be with you, because I don't think you're going to do that well. But the funny thing is, while you would never consider coming to a competition like this, doing something like this just off the cuff, so many professing Christians, that is people who name the name of Christ and would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, so many of them are unprepared, unready to defend the faith they say they believe, to give a reason, for instance, why do you believe the Christian faith? Why are you a follower of Jesus? If somebody asks that question, or somebody attacks their faith and says, you know, Christianity makes no sense, it's completely unreasonable. If somebody says that to them, so many Christians out there are completely unprepared to answer that, to give a reasonable answer. Well, in 1 Peter 3:15, the Apostle Peter tells us that that shouldn't be the case. And he wants to encourage us to be ready to give a defense. He says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And really quickly, I just want to go over some of the things that Peter is saying there to Christians to encourage you in turn to be ready to give that defense. Now, Peter was writing to Christians who were undergoing persecution. In some cases, their families were persecuting them for their faith. Certainly, the society that they lived in was persecuting them. And Peter wanted them to know that they weren't alone. And he took a phrase from Isaiah. Isaiah was speaking to the people who were about to be attacked by Assyria. And he said, this is the prophet Isaiah said, "The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow," that is, count as holy, "in your heart." In other words, what Isaiah was saying was, don't fear the enemy. Don't fear them, because they're just men. Fear God. Set him apart in your hearts. Reverence him. Because if you fear God more than you fear man, you won't be afraid to give an answer. One of the problems that we often have is we are afraid of people. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. You've been speaking to somebody and you're just intimidated. You're afraid of them. But Peter says, don't let that happen. Isaiah said, don't let that happen. If you have God's Spirit dwelling in your hearts, if you know the Lord, and if you fear the Lord, then you'll speak the words you need to speak no matter where you are. And Peter knew what he was talking about, because you remember he had been pulled in front of the Sanhedrin a number of times. There was that one time they called them all in and they said, don't preach Jesus anymore in the city. And they'd answered in Acts 5:21, and they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And so Peter, when he says, be ready, means you should not only be willing to speak for Christ, you should be eager to speak for Christ, but also you need to know what you're going to say when it comes time to speak for Christ. One of the things that we need to be doing, just as you prepare to speak here, you need to be getting the Bible and Christian doctrine into your hearts so you're always ready to give an answer. Now, in order to know what the Bible says, what do you have to do with the Bible? You got to read the Bible. The Bible's not going to do you any good if it's closed and gathering dust on your shelf. You've got to read it and know what it says. And then you've got to listen to teaching about the Bible. You have to pay attention in church when guys like me are standing up and saying, this is what the Lord says. You need to be listening and getting these things into your heart. So even if you don't have a printed copy of the Bible, you're always carrying the Bible around with you. And he says, when you give a defense for your faith, you need to be more than just being clever. You need to be more than just giving doctrinal answers. You need to be giving an answer for, what does he say? Your hope, the hope that is in you. And what he meant by that was the hope that you are depending upon. You need to be able to speak to people about what is in your heart because of what Christ has done for all of you. You need to be able to say why you believe the things that you believe and what you're depending upon. Now, the Christian's great hope is this. One Christian pastor said, hope is a patient, disciplined, confident waiting for and expectation of the Lord as our Savior. You and I as Christians know that the Lord ascended into heaven and we're waiting for Him to come back. And so that is our hope, our great hope for the return of the Lord when there will be an end of sin and suffering, when all things will be put right. And we're looking forward to that. And people ask us, why are you looking forward to that? Well, we need to be able to say, I'm looking forward to that, and intelligently answer them from the Scriptures, saying, because I have good and credible witnesses. But not only that, because the Lord has put His Spirit in my heart. He's changed my life. He's changed me. He can change you as well. And then explain to them why the Christian faith is more reasonable, in fact, than unbelief. Now, if you don't have that hope in your heart, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, and it is possible, even in a Christian church, that some people might not yet have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, learning all the doctrines of the Christian faith will never be enough. It'll never be really enough to give a really strong, cogent defense. The best apologists in history have always been the men and women who've known the Lord the most, have known Him personally, and have been willing to lay down their lives for Him. But also, you'll never speak with that confidence that you need. The confidence that, for instance, Paul and Peter had, having been with the Lord Jesus, having seen Him, having known His power personally. You'll never have that power when you speak unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't really have that hope. And the return of the Lord is not something you're looking forward to. It may be something you don't expect, and something that when it happens will be not a joyous moment, but a terrifying moment. For those who don't know the Lord, the return of the Lord is not going to be a happy day. It's going to be one where they're calling on rocks and stones to fall upon them. Hide us! Hide us from God! But instead, I want that for all of you to be a day of joy, a day that's the culmination of that fight of the faith that you've been waging, the end of your race. We're supposed to run the race of the Christian faith looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And I hope that's what all you are doing. And if you aren't, then I pray that you will go and you will search the Scriptures and you will seek to know Jesus and His Word, that you'll go to places like John 3, that you'll read your way through John, Acts, Romans. That would be my advice. Those three books. Get them into you. Because by reading those words, you're hearing God speaking not just to the world, but to you personally. I pray that you'll do that. I pray that you'll know Christ and that you'll have that confidence, that great hope, looking forward to His return. And you'll be able to use those things that you're learning today as you speak, as you debate, to talk to others about the Christian faith and to spread that faith, that light and that glory throughout the world. Let's go ahead and pray. God, our Father, we pray now, Lord, that you would help us to speak your words after you, to tell people about the hope that we have as your apostles did, as Isaiah, as Peter, as Paul spoke of you, Lord, because they knew you. For you, O Lord, had worked in them. You had changed their hearts. You had given them that hope that will last forever. I pray that these children and these adults who are hearing me, O Lord, that they have that hope, that they have closed with you by faith, that they know that you will never leave them, never forsake them, never let them go. And I pray that they would be looking always, every day, for those opportunities to share their faith, but with meekness and respect, to speak respectfully to others and gently of the Lord who has saved them by faith. Now, Lord, please be with them. Help them as they seek to speak this day to your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.